straight up, or is it capoed?
Straight up, I think.
What key is it in?
A.
Did you say the capoed or freedom of service capoed?
No. It's open. Fantastical.
A, E.
A, D, F,
I, O, U.
A, D, palm, U, E. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Try that one more time. Some of you are a little bit late on the pickup there. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank you all for being here today. It is awesome to be able to gather together and worship and have some fun together, praising the Lord and being challenged by His Word and reminded of His great love for us. And that through all the things that we face and all the things that we're going through, God is doing great things. And when things get rough, get bumpy, and maybe don't go the way that we think they should or want them to, we always can sit back and ride along with God and see how He's going to work all things out in the end. And so today is a great day for that, and it's great to know and to that we have gathered here to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today, and that He sits on His throne, and He is there for His people, and we are His people. Above and beyond all other things, we are His. So this morning, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we're going to jump into worship, and you guys are going to have to sing along fast, because we got some quick stuff for you this morning, but you guys are going to do fine. So let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for this great and glorious day that You've given to us. A few weeks ago, we were trembling at the thought of winter coming in and complaining about the cold and the snowflakes and the craziness we were feeling on the outside that was affecting how we felt on the inside. But Lord, today we come before You and we just remember that You are for us, You love us, You have searched out the world and You've drawn us to Yourself. And we are thankful to be written into Your storyline as Your children. And Lord, this morning we put everything else aside, all other things, so that we are going to be able to worship You in spirit and in truth. And we will praise You this day. For it is in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and the King of Kings, that we get to pray. And all God's people said, yeah. Amen. Please stand as we worship together this morning.
Sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my pain, and I'm laying Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Now that your heart rate's up to 140 beats a minute, hopefully you guys are excited to be able to worship the Lord today and to be able to celebrate Him in His glory. We take it too for granted that we get to approach the throne of grace as His children and that His lap is always open to us, that we can come before Him, but we must humbly approach the throne of grace, knowing that our Father is for us. And we can do that because of what Jesus has done on the cross so that we could be His forevermore.
The cross before me, the world behind, the turning back, raise the banner high, it's not for us, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake and split the sky, let the people grab their hands and cry, it's not for us, it's all for you.
Gather together in worship and sing His praise today as one day we will be with Him. And we don't have to imagine him seated on his throne, but we'll see him. And we will be able to bow, fall, raise our hands, clap, and we won't really care what anyone thinks. Amen. Because we will be with the one whom has loved us completely and totally, and we will begin to love him fully, just like he has loved us.
Lord, my life is an empty cup. Here's my heart, would you fill me up? I'm face to the ground, forsaking my pride, leaving my will, my burden behind. All I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. I have come to the end of me, and there's nothing I have to bring, but you said I belong. You say I am yours, nothing compares to knowing you more. All I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you.
Blessing it is to know that we can just come into his presence. We don't have to be ashamed of where we've been or what we've done, because he's forgiven that. And he's challenged us to leave it all behind to follow him. and come and worship him. He leaves the door open. And we have so much to be thankful for.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn, it's time to sing.
God, we do come before you today to worship you and to be challenged by your word, to remember how much you love searching out lost things. And you search us out and you find us. Lord, we come before you today as lost things that have been brought back from the brink of extinction, rejection, and loss to becoming children of the living God. For that, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name.
You may be seated.
We've got a lot on our plate this week. There's a lot of things that we can be thankful for. We had a whole bunch of blood drawn this week in honor of John Bulkins, who gave hundreds of pints of blood. We've gathered together as a church and hosted a blood drive on Friday that did extremely well. And there's been a lot of people that will be touched by that. But not only that, we have so much to be thankful for from the standpoint that people who have been sick are getting well, and that actually things are going kind of okay for a lot of us in the church. And we can be thankful for that. Let's go before the Lord in prayer before we jump into the service this morning. Oh, Father God, I'm truly amazed that week after week you use a cracked pot like me to get up here and to share from your word and to challenge each and every one of us to be ever mindful of your love and sacrifice for us. And that you have gone through and you love sifting through the rubble of our lives to find the lost things. And when you do, you take those things and you restore them and you make them new again. And you place incredible value on each and every one of us. So much so that you sent your Son into the world to die on the cross for us, that we could be saved and redeemed and restored. And Lord, may we never forget what you did, leaving your Father's side, coming here to this earth to die for us, and to be raised for us, and to live forever for us as our Savior and our Lord. So Holy Spirit, we have gathered here today, and I pray that you'll rattle us from the inside out, that you'll shake the dust off the blinds, and you'll remove the blinders from our eyes, and that we would see you, and we'd see our value, but we'd also see the value of everyone around us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, all God's people said, amen. You know, we've all lost a lot of things over the years. And it's kind of weird because it seems like it's weird when you lose something, it can drive you batty and crazy, or it can be not too big of a deal. And it's not so big of a deal when you have replacement things, like when you lose your keys. If you have a second set of keys, it's not so bad as when you lose the only set of keys. And you know, we always have this in our mind that, man, I need to get a second key made because there's going to come a time when I lose this key. And you know, it's kind of one of those things where, I don't know about you guys, but in our house we've got dark brown furniture, and if you're sitting in the living room and it gets dark outside and you're watching TV and the lights are off and that's all that's on is the glow of the TV, it's hard to find those black remote controls on the dark furniture. And so Deanne and I are often caught yelling at each other going, what'd you do with the remote control? You had it last. Well, where'd you put it? And it typically takes turning on the light to be able to find the remote control because it's always right there where you left it. We've all lost cell phones. Old people lose reading glasses even if they're on their heads. And the most often reported thing that is lost, and the reason I don't use it, is chapstick. Everybody loses their chapstick, so I just go right by that and don't even bother using the stuff. But you know, one of the things that drives you crazy is when you're getting up and you gotta go to work and you can't find your keys, isn't it? When you're searching the house and you're looking and you're screaming and you're yelling and you're throwing and you're thinking about stealing the neighbor's car so you can get to work on time. It's terrible because there is nothing worse than losing something that's important. And when you do lose something important, you do whatever it takes to find it. There are some great stories Jesus tells about people who lost things that were very important to them. And they're found in Luke chapter 15. And he tells these stories as an important reason because it summed up what he was doing with his ministry and looking for lost people. And it starts out in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. It says, Now there were tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around him to hear. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home, and he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice for me, for I have found my lost sheep." Now, I know that there are a lot of people who grew up on farms, and there are a lot of people who had livestock, and they had cattle, and they had sheep, and they had goats, and they had all these different things that were part of their daily lives. And to you, this is normal, right? But for those of us who grew up near farms, all we knew was when you drove by the hog farm or the cattle barn or the feedlot, you held your breath to get past those things. And to be honest, when we look at this, it's those of us who are not shepherds or farmers, we don't think of it as that big of a deal. This shepherd had 100 sheep, and one of them wandered off. So what's the big deal? His name was probably Larry, and Larry wandered off, and who would ever notice that Larry wasn't there? Hi, Larry. But what was interesting is this sheep, this Larry, he wandered off, and the shepherd was aware that one had wandered off. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I look out here and I see a bunch of people, and I don't know exactly who's here and who's not, and I can't tell from time to time, but this shepherd looked out and he saw that there was one missing, and he knew it had to be Larry. Maybe he saw Larry go over the hill. Maybe he saw him wander off. But what was interesting is this, that he doesn't panic. He doesn't run frantic. He does something very important. He makes sure that the other 99 are safe in an open pasture, doing their thing, getting fat, getting happy. They're away from the water's edge. They're well taken care of. He's looked around and surveyed the landscape, and there's no wolves. There's nothing to destroy them. They're safe and content, and he goes off to find that wayward sheep, and he finds him, and he grabs him up and puts him on his shoulders like a father with his daughter on his shoulders at the county fair, and he walks back, and he's so excited and so happy. He calls all of his family and friends together and the other shepherds, and he throws a party and invites all of them to come, and they're having a great party, and they're going, "Man, you got to be celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep." And they're like, "Great. Yeah, what's for dinner, Larry?" "Larry's for dinner. He won't wander off again. I'm down one." That's my interpretation of how that story should go. But that's not God. You know, a lot of times when you got 99, you really don't worry about the one. But God does. Because he knows that if you lose one, that leads to two. It's kind of like two leads to three, and three leads to five, and five leads to 10, and pretty soon you don't have nothing. It's kind of like a penny. You know, how many of you have walked by a penny this week? A lot of times I find the older I get, there's less of a chance of me stooping over to pick up a penny because I weigh out the factor of the chiropractor bill of getting up off the ground. You know, I'm thinking, if I bend over and get that, am I going to get back up? But there was a guy named Arthur Anders, and he knew the value of a penny. And for 45 years, whenever he saw what people walked by, it reminded him of something. And he picked up that penny, and he said a simple prayer. And one day, he cashed in all of those pennies, and he ended up getting back $5,136.14. Now, collecting something for 45 years and it only amounting to $5,136.14 doesn't seem like much, but he said something. Every time that I saw a penny on the ground, it reminded me of God's love for me, and I was gave him thanks and I said a prayer. And that $5,000 didn't add up to much. But those $513,614 prayers probably made a huge difference in a lot of people's lives. How strange it is that one little thing can make all the difference in the world. Nonetheless, that one penny and that one sheep has value and worth, and it is worth the effort to pick it up and go find it if you lose it. And you know, every one of us has value and worth to Jesus. There isn't one of us that he looks at and says, "You're worthless." Because he knows how much God loves you and values you. And Jesus says, "I'll give everything so that he can have you." And one day, like all those pennies that Arthur had, the cool thing is he's going to cash us all in on his account before God and say, "I've lost none of those you've given to me." The next story that Jesus tells hits a little closer to home because it makes a little more sense to us. In Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, he says, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search it carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice for me because I have found my lost coin.'" So we have to unpack this a little bit. Now we have to go back in time. We have to think back to what things were like back in the day when Jesus was telling this story. This woman, who the cultural norm had no property, no intrinsic value herself or things, because it sounds like she is alone in this life, she somehow saved up 10 silver coins. And the coin that Jesus is referring to isn't a simple silver coin. It's a coin that represented a full day's wages. It represented something that you could use to sustain your family for one full day. It was one of those things where people lived from day to day and they worked that day so that they could get enough to feed their family that day and then have a little left over for the next morning and part of the next day so that they could survive and then continue that process. They didn't have huge bank accounts, and for this woman to have 10 silver coins was an incredible thing, because if she was alone and you could feed your family off of one silver coin, she might have been able to feed herself for a week off that silver coin. So this silver coin meant like a paycheck for us, right? And it was so important to her because she knew that that she depended on God to give her everything she needed. And what's incredible is here she was in this moment, and she knew that that silver coin was gone, and that meant that she might not live a day or three or five longer, because she knew something very important. You know, back in the day, if you didn't work, you didn't eat. And that's what 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we gave this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat." So when she lost this coin, she lost way more than just a penny. It represented so much more. She had to find it. You know, how many of you have ever dropped something and it rolled under something and you're going, "That's too much effort to retrieve"? Right? How many of you ever dropped one of those little baby carrots or a grape on the floor in the kitchen and it rolls off somewhere? And you think it might be under the fridge, it might be under the stove, and you're like, "I'm not sure where that went, but I'll find it someday," like when you move. But nonetheless, that's about what it's going to take, is the art of moving to be able to find those lost things there. But what she found was that in that moment when that coin was gone and she knew she dropped it and it went somewhere, she knew in the midst of her dark little dank home in the basement of probably somebody's house that she had to find it. So she uses what precious resources she has, and she strikes up all the lamps she can so she can see what she's doing, and she starts moving things. Look, gang, she's so desperate to find that coin, she cleans her house, because she knew that she needed that coin to survive. And when she finds it, she's so excited. She tells her family, "Look, I have found my lost coin." And you know, these stories that Jesus told are great stories to help remind us of four important things. One is that things that one person values are different than what other people value. To one guy, that sheep was important. To me, not so much. To that woman, that lost coin was valuable. But to some people, what's the big deal? But God values each and every one of us more than anything else, even life itself. Because Jesus was willing to give up his so we could have it forever. It also tells us that there are things we're searching for with all the effort we can muster. You know, the shepherd left the sheep and he went in search of the lost sheep. He took a risk leaving the sheep there because another shepherd could have come along and stolen them, or a wolf or a bear come and claimed them as its lunch. But what's interesting is this, is he said, it's worth the effort to go and find that lost sheep because Larry matters. And not only that, the woman, she said, I will do whatever it takes to find this. And she was cleaning her house and she was using important resources such as oil for her lamps and looking and searching. And God sent his son into the world to seek and save that which was lost, and that's you and me. And the third thing we need to remember is this, is that we should always be thankful and learn to celebrate life with our friends and our families. You know, it's so cool that you guys get to gather together with some of your family and friends, and I look out and I'm sitting here and Mary's surrounded by family and friends, and I look back and there's Connie back there. She's grinning. She's going, I got my babies with me. And what's funny is she calls Jeremy her baby, but I don't call Jeremy her baby. No, I call Jeremy Mr. Jeremy, and we go from there. And the crazy thing is, what better thing to do than to celebrate what you found with family and friends, something that's been lost. Sometimes when that's even you're being lost and being found by Jesus. And not only that, the fourth thing it does is it reminds me of how much God values each and every human life that has been lost to sin. You know, every human being that's ever walked this planet short of Jesus has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and therefore is bound to go to hell. And he wanted to stop that so much so that he sent Jesus in the world to live a perfect life so that we wouldn't have to go. And what's really cool is that God sends people into our lives and shares the gospel message with us so that we don't have to go, so that we can tell the world we found Jesus, right? But isn't it that he's found us and done everything possible to redeem us? And we are the ones that have to say yes, Lord, to him. So much so that it's interesting to look as you go further in the book of Luke. It seems like it's a story of lost things being found. And in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, it says this about another lost thing. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. Had made way more than 10 silver coins. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. Can you believe that? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times that amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. And the most important lines for you and I today, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You know, I love that story about Zacchaeus. You know, I keep thinking the incredible risk he did. He ran and he climbed up a tree. And he gets up there and he's looking, he's waiting for Jesus to come by. And I kind of think, what would have happened if Jesus would have turned short of Zacchaeus? But he knew exactly where Zacchaeus was and where he was going to be. And he walks right up and he stops under that tree and he goes, Zacchaeus, come on down, man. Let's have lunch. Now, I don't think Jesus was after a free lunch. He was after finding that which had been lost. And some interesting things about Zacchaeus, the wee little man, I put down some fun-sized fun facts about him is this, that like us, he was sinful and greedy. You know what? There isn't one of us who isn't greedy in some way, shape, or form. Some of us are greedy to the extent that we'll do anything for a dollar, and we'll gloat about having more than anybody else. Some of us are greedy for other things other than money. We're greedy for possessions. We're greedy for the right people in our lives. We're greedy for a lot of things. But he was sinful and he was greedy. He was a rotten, no good IRS agent, tax collector, working for himself and for the enemy. He was considered to be a traitor to his people. And most definitely, if he was anything, he was a thief and he was good at it. And what's interesting about the name Zacchaeus is that it means something important. It means innocent or pure. Now think about that for a moment. Zacchaeus was not living up to his name. He was supposed to be innocent and pure, yet he was a thief. He was a crook. He swindled. He took advantage of people. The Romans said, you're to collect $10, and he would collect $15 and keep $5 for himself. He was ripping everybody off, and everybody knew it, but there was nothing they could do about it. But Jesus was about to do something incredible in this little man's life. And I love the fact that he calls him a son of Abraham, because that title, son of Abraham, is important on many levels, but it had little to do with his genealogy and everything to do with his faith. You see, he was a descendant of Abraham, but he was becoming a descendant of Abraham through his faith in Jesus Christ. And to demonstrate Zacchaeus' newfound faith in Jesus, one of the beautiful things was as he stands up and says, Lord, look, right now, here and now, I give half of all that I have to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. You know what's interesting is this. A couple quick questions. Who did Zacchaeus cheat? Everybody. So here he was a great wealthy man. He got it by cheating everybody, right? So he gives half of his wealth away, and then he says, if I've cheated anybody, I will give four times back what I've taken from them. So that five extra bucks he took meant that he was going to have to pay back everybody $20. Not just once, but every time he cheated them. This man went broke following Jesus. He gave up absolutely everything when it came to following Jesus. Here he was, a crook, a thief, a liar. He was a horrible human being, ripping off that little old woman. He was excited when she found her 10 coins because guess what? He was going to claim 3 of them for himself. But in that moment in time, he did something so incredible. He threw it aside because none of that mattered except for following Jesus. Following Jesus cost Zacchaeus everything. You know, you think about that, and I was going back over this morning. I thought about this little crook in comparison to the rich young ruler, right? Had everything. He's from the right family. He stood out in the synagogue. He was a morally religious man. He did the right things. He had a lot of money. He was the person people looked up to. And then you got Zacchaeus. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus, says, what do I have to do to have eternal life? He says, sell everything you have and come follow me. And the man walked away sad and rejected Jesus because the things mattered more to him than Jesus did. And here's Zacchaeus who says, here, threw it all out the window into the street and said, come and get it. Anybody who has need, it's gone. I would rather follow Jesus and have it all. Here's a guy who was religiously observant and obedient. And here was this little sinner who finds Jesus. And the one guy goes off, the rich, religious, respected, genetically connected to Abraham, walks off into eternity, into hell. And here's little old Zacchaeus with nothing, finding out he's going to spend forever with Jesus. That seems to be the norm for those who followed Jesus by faith back in the day. Mark 10, 28 through 30, Peter says, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Home, brothers, sisters, mother, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. That's encouraging. And in the age to come, eternal life. You know, it's so incredible is that while that was the norm for followers back in Jesus' day, most Christians today have a hard time giving him a tithe of what he has already blessed them with. Let alone give up everything, even their lives and their livelihood. Here's a silly question. What wouldn't you give up today to follow Jesus? What wouldn't you let go of right now to follow Jesus? Would you get rid of your home? Would you get rid of your cars? Would you get rid of the bank accounts, if that meant that if it was standing in the way between you and Jesus and doing what Jesus was calling you to do, what is it that you're saying, man, I don't know if I could do that? Be careful as you think. Because that becomes the thing that you'll be tested at. See, ladies and gentlemen, there's always something that we're hanging on to tightly to. And we need to be willing to let go of, to grab a hold of Jesus with both hands. Are you willing to let go of your identity so you can do what God's calling you to do and be who he's calling you to be? See, ladies and gentlemen, that's huge. That's huge. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus was willing to do that day. And what's awesome is this, is that Jesus rewarded Zacchaeus' faith in him and said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. And you know, that's the only way that any of us fall into that category of faith with Abraham and Zacchaeus is by saying, Lord, I'll leave it all to follow you and have you. I love Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. It says, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Zacchaeus was a genetic relative, but more importantly, he was a relative of Abraham by faith. And Jesus went and looked for Zacchaeus and found him hanging out in a tree and said, come down, let's eat lunch, let's talk about this. And Zacchaeus made a decision to follow Jesus and leave it all behind because he had found the most important thing in life. Now, as I was preaching this sermon, I thought about this a little bit, and it's one of those rough things. I look over here and I see Danetta, and I see Mary, and I see all the others who have lost a spouse. And you know, Harlan's wife, John's wife, Danetta, Mary, see, it all boils down to, for us, child of God. It's the only identity we can have in this world that matters. Because all other identities will be stripped from us. Someday, if I win the bet like I've got it planned, it'll be Deanne. Not Pastor Vince's wife. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we come to Jesus by faith, we fall into his family, and that name is never removed from us. And you know what's interesting about all these stories, all three of them, they stem from one comment that was made at the beginning and follows through until this third one. It says that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. He has gone to be a guest of a sinner. And you know what? I'm so glad that that's Jesus' favorite name, friend of sinners. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's just, I wasn't going to say this, but then I got thinking about it and I thought it was pretty. I've had a lot more fun in my lifetime with sinners than church board members. I have. Oh my goodness. And I know there were some people who got mad when Pastor Thomas preached a sermon a while back talking about lost people and how we need to love them and stuff. And I tell you what, I've had more fun with homosexuals and drunkards than I've ever had with board chairs. David, you got a lot to live up to, buddy. We're going to hang on. I wonder if Jesus sees something in that. That it's way more fun when a sinner comes to the point of faith than it is when religious people just do their thing. I really wish we had a lot to celebrate around here. Like God did. Every time a sinner turns to him. So here we go. Ready? I'm going to run through this fast, so hang on tight. Jesus Christ left the presence of his Father to come and seek and save that which is lost. He gave up everything so that we could be found and returned safely to the family of God. More than that, shepherd looking for wayward Larry the sheep, or the destitute woman looking for a lost day's provision, the disciples who gave up everything, or Zacchaeus who gave up it all for Jesus, or the widow who gave her last 2 cents to thank God for what he had already provided her for with. Jesus Christ put his life on the line for us, and it allowed us to be taken into his presence and allowed his life to be taken so that we could have the opportunity to live with him forever. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which is lost, and that lost thing is you. You are worth all the effort he has put into finding you and trying to save you. And if he had to do it all over again, he would. He is excited about you coming home to him by faith and wants to rejoice with his Father in heaven with you. That sheep story in Luke chapter 15, verses 6-7, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, For I have found my lost sheep, and I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to. The coin story. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost coin." And in the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And Zacchaeus' story, which is also our story, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. We need to be thankful that he's found us and has opened up the possibility for us for our salvation. And we need to be thankful that he has come and sought us out and offered us eternal life through faith in his search and rescue mission of us. And no matter how you feel, what you've done wrong, how big a failure you have been, or what other people say about you, you are valued by God, you are loved by God, and he rejoices when each one of us comes to him by faith. Now just... not just him, but all of heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that in mind, are you the rich young ruler or are you Zacchaeus today? Because that makes all the difference in eternity. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you give us faith checks often. And there are many of us who have played the rich young ruler who comes walking in and we got the right name. We might be better than everybody else in the room. We might do a lot of things right, but there's still one thing that we've got to settle. Are we willing to leave it all behind to follow you, Jesus? Are we going to be willing to give it all away to follow you no matter what you ask of us? Are we going to be willing to stand even if it means our very life? And Lord, that's a scary question. But there's only one answer. My prayer is that each one of us would have the courage and the boldness to stand with little Zacchaeus, with the disciples, and stand with you, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song this morning.
Just those who
Father God, thank you that we have the privilege of knowing you. And because we know you and all that you've done for us, and we know who you are, we consider it a privilege to call you a sacred friend. But more than that, calling you Savior and Lord. Thank you for rescuing wretches and horrible people like us. Because it'll show the world as we go out and tell them of your great love for us that they too can know your great love for them. So Lord, send us into this world. Bring people across our path like Zacchaeus and all the lost souls so that we can share with them who you are and your wonderful power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey folks, before you go, I got a couple quick announcements, so have a quick seat. All right, most of you are on email. The mic here, there we go. All right, eight quick things. One. We are responsible to bring peanut butter in so that we can help out with the food baskets going out to the community and those in need. So please bring in peanut butter and make my office stink like Jiffy. Two. All right. Yeah. Seven. All right. If you are in need and wanting a food basket, there are forms on the table behind the sound booth in the hallway. Fill one out. Make sure it's here by November 19th. Whatever that would be. So this is number three. If you could use a little extra help this Christmas season securing a Christmas gift for your child 18 and under, there is a form on the table in the narthex as well that will be used to do that. We are going to provide through the Ministerial Association a clothing gift and a book. The Toys for Tots will take care of the other needs as far as gifts and toys like that. Four, there will be an opportunity to pick up the Mount Carroll Ministerial Association Christmas tags following the community Thanksgiving service that's coming up. So if you're interested in helping out like you have in the past, we've got a different way that's going to happen. There's going to be a tree here and at the pharmacy. That's the only places you'll be able to pick them up. So make sure you sign up and get that taken care of if you are accustomed to doing so. Five, the community Thanksgiving service is going to be online November 22nd at 7 p.m. It's going to be interesting. It'll be a Zoom deal, so more information will be coming out. Six, our Thanksgiving offering will be going to help the ministerial... That is the hardest thing to say. Ministerial Association meet needs in our community. I've been here 8 years. And over those 8 years, we've had as high as $13,000 that we've worked with for a year to give out and help people in need. Right now, we are below $4,000. It's the lowest I've ever seen it in 8 years. and helping people keep the lights on and keep heat and water and keep in their apartments and homes. So please, if you can, give generously. There's more information about that. 7, remember to practice social distancing whether you're wearing a mask or not. Our meeting together here is a privilege and can't be taken for granted. And there have been a lot of churches where they've had an uptick in things and it's wiped out their Sunday morning services and they've gone online. And I like seeing at least half of your faces here. Like here up, okay? Not half of you, I'm just saying. Half at least. Some of us need to wear masks. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Some of you are beautiful, I'm just saying. But the rest of us, masks are good. But anyway, nonetheless, all right. 8th. If you are able, check out a company online called Right Now Media at rightnow.org. Check it out. It's a Christian-based site that has all kinds of Bible studies and movies and video clips and children's stories and all these different other things directed at helping you grow spiritually. There's like 25,000 different things on there for you and your family to look at that could help benefit you in growth, especially since you guys, a lot of you are stuck at home. We as a church are going to do something pretty cool. We're going to pick up your subscription for a year, this first year, and try it out and see how it goes. If there's enough people using it, we might be able to continue that, but we're going to give it a try. And we're going to see how it goes, and if you guys use it, we will let you abuse the privilege greatly, but we can only take the first 100 people who sign up. So there's a sign-up sheet in the right next to all the other thing on the table out there that I mentioned, all right? But I need your name, and I need your email address, legibly written so that I can figure out how to put it in a form, and then we're going to do a launch of this here in the near future. All right, that's it. 8 items. From peanut butter to free stuff. Everybody likes free stuff, right? All right. We thank you for being here and putting up with me today. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next week. Take care.